I'm Lacey. Life is too fun to be held down by kids.
Hi, I'm Amy. Being a mom is the most rewarding job ever.
Loose lips and childbearing hips.
I know something that you don't know. Ho, 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 ho.
Alan says I'm positive.
He sure
does. Positive, damn it.
Well, then this is going to be great, Kelly.
What?
I'm glad that you're hungry right now because I brought some goodies, but it's not food.
Yay! Are we just plowing right in? You want me to do the intro?
Oh, no.
Oh!
She is so excited, Kelly.
I'm on an empty stomach.
Oh, rosé.
Yay!
Rosé? I didn't know
Slay.
That.
Slay all day, then rosé.
Slay, babe.
Do you need help?
No,
I got it.
Do you want me to do the
wow.
intro? Or are you okay, we're going to do the intro.
Look at this.
And we're all recording. We're all good. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're just going to pick it up from now.
Well,
go ahead. Yes? She's nodding quietly.
Oh, I was saying we're good if you want to intro it, or I was about to. I just wanted to give Ellen the champagne, if you wouldn't mind. Busting
Popping
it open.
The cork,
this is a
babe.
Big deal to me. Y'all don't ruin.
No, I'm not ruining
I'm
it.
Super excited.
I just
want
to make
celebrate.
Sure.
What am I doing to ruin? What
you
did I do
what?
To ruin
we
anything?
We're doing this combined podcast. We're trying getting into the flow of things.
I'm sorry. That was me. I'm too excited. I'm telling you not to ruin anything. I'm trying to tell myself to calm down.
Are you
really? No, I'm excited. I'm not panicking yet.
Well,
y'all wait till I start stumbling and bumbling, then I'll be panicking.
Watch me try to open this.
This is the first time we've done a crossover podcast with Loose Lips and Childbearing Hips.
Yay!
Meets a sandwich and some lovin'.
Hello, I'm Alan.
So I thought, tell me what you think about these names. This is a sandwich and some loving can lead to childbearing hips.
Yes.
Is that
yes,
good?
Yes.
Or should it
true.
Just be a sandwich and some childbearing hips? Which one's better?
Oh,
a
well.
A sandwich and some childbearing hips.
I like the first one.
Yeah, a sandwich and some childbearing hips sounds like a double wide should be involved.
Be careful, honey. No, cover it. You could put
where
it on
do I do it?
No, do your hand over it so it doesn't
where
bite.
Should it go?
Put your hand over it. Alan, put your hand over it. Oh, Lord. Why would you do that?
Successful.
That's audio.
I know, but you need to put your hand over it so you don't bust out a light. I mean, this is us fussing.
I
like this podcast. This is more fun than what we do at home.
Now, what's the other bottle?
Y'all drink
it's
at home?
It's just a mango.
Yeah, we
a mango
and what's
champagne.
This one?
Rosé. Alan's
rose
favorite.
I'll just do that. We've opened rose. That one. Let's go.
Okay, so normally on Loose Lips and Childbearing Hips, we start off with some intros. So I'm going to intro my girl real quick. She's not nearly as lame as her kids make her out to be. Her personality shines, even if her butt jokes do not. Her name is...
Amy Nichols. And you did it backwards.
I know. But can you just go ahead and intro me?
Lacey is my work wife and is feeling super positive. She hasn't even threatened to kill herself today.
Yay!
I am Lacey G. And then he loves to follow sexy girls on Instagram. That's why he's constantly liking photos from Amy Nichols, Lacey Bishop, and Loose Lips and Childbearing Hips. See what I did there? Because we're sexy. You get it?
I get it.
Okay. Let's make way for A-Train. Here is Alan Evans.
Oh, Alan. Wow. A-Train in the house.
Look, you went to all this trouble, these fancy intros.
And she is a radio legend, a love expert, and the ego stroker. I've never been called anyone's favorite before, but she picked me. I think we have great chemistry. She needs no introduction. Her name is Kelly Raspberry.
Thank you, Lacey. This is so nice. Honey, pour yourself a glass so we can all toast.
So I'm going to drink rosé, huh?
Why not? You're, okay. you're
oh, peer
secure.
Pressure.
Yeah.
You're secure in your manhood.
From a goblet.
Very nice, Lacey.
Very nice.
Nice.
Crystal,
cheers.
Crystal goblet.
Cheers.
Do y'all drink it every
no,
podcast?
No,
week?
We don't.
Oh.
Lacey's
we do.
Very excited. And I'm excited too, but I'm empty-handed, so I'm very
well,
sorry.
No.
This is from both of us.
No, this is great.
You
thank you. This is very
now,
good.
Alan and I, we typically enjoy a little something-something from the bar. Alan usually is a bourbon man, and I'm a wine drinker, occasionally vodka.
That's good. That's pretty good.
Good? Yeah. Let me taste.
And I didn't even slay today. Yeah?
There's still
I feel
time.
Like I need to go slay now, though.
You're going to be slaying.
You're
going to be
slaying
through this podcast.
We're
going to
be slaying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to
need your sleigh
brain
on.
Okay.
Very nice, Lacey. I'm so glad you're excited because Alan, you know, came up to the studio today and I was like, while you're here, why don't we invite some of our sister podcasts to join us on A Sandwich and Some Lovin'.
Why can't they be brother podcasts?
Our brother, our fellow broadcast.
Why can't we say brethren?
Sibling. Why don't we say sibling?
Sibling. There you
sibling.
Go.
Sibling. Okay. Does that sibling. Make you feel?
Just trying to keep it PC.
We come from the woman room. That's why.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Right.
That's true.
We're
that's
all about
true.
Women empowerment
that's
here.
True.
We're letting you come along, Alan.
I wasn't so sure that they would be this enthusiastic, but I'm excited that you're excited. That makes me excited.
Good. Oh my gosh, yes. I my family and friends really know me, so every holiday I get alcoholic stuff. I get mermaid and unicorn stuff. So I have all this nice glassware that I never get to use. So that's why.
Beautiful stemware. Is this your wedding crystal?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, wow.
My mom got it.
That is so nice.
I just sold all my previous wedding crystal.
Right.
My previous wedding crystal. Because I never used it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would move it from house to house, and it was gradually getting chipped.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sat in a china cabinet. And when we moved this last time, I said, that's it. I'm getting rid of it. So I finally got rid of my old wedding china and my wedding crystal.
I never even registered because I didn't think I would ever use it.
That was smart. But
well, that was
how
smart.
Often do you use stuff like this? I mean,
you today. Should.
One,
you know what?
One time a year? Thanks.
But here's the other thinking behind it. Why do we only use our nice things on special occasions? We should enjoy our nice things all the time. Honestly, right?
My mom has some really old china from her great-grandmother, and she always uses it for birthday dinners. And so the only time we use it, but it is a nice time to use it if you're not going to use it for everyday use.
Very special.
Right.
I got some very nice crystal beer steins last Christmas, and I was so excited, and I sat down on the floor at my in-law's house, and I had a beer, and I knocked it over, and I have not used it since then. I didn't break it, but still, I'm like, this is why I can't have nice things.
Is it one of those big steins with the metal lid? You press the button, and the lid comes up? One of those?
No, that would be foolproof, I think. Yeah. I think I would have been safe there. No, they were just nice beer steins, but I ruined
enjoy
it immediately.
Them. Enjoy them, Lacey, and when they... You know, either it sits on the shelf and you don't enjoy it, or you enjoy it till it breaks,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do? Pass it down. But these are gorgeous.
They
you
really
a good
are.
Crystal pattern. Waterford.
Mm-hmm. We got married in Ireland. My mom ordered those
thanks.
While we were in Ireland and then had them shipped over.
Very pretty.
Now I'm nervous.
Thank you for
you mind
doing
if we,
that.
Borrow these for a while?
Borrow them for the podcast.
Borrow them for the podcast. Okay, we can do that.
So I did reach out on Instagram and asked our friends if there was anything that we wanted to talk about. And someone asked, how did you meet your significant other? Or are there any funny moments with them? So
we all have significant others.
How did you guys meet?
Well, wait a sec. Do we? I don't
well,
know.
Well, you have a significant other. I do.
Well, I know Lacey.
And Amy.
I've met Lacey. Have I met Amy?
They were at the
other?
Wedding.
Have
yeah,
I?
He was, I mean, he was probably on the dance floor, too busy to introduce himself.
In fact, I think he was one of the, he really enjoyed the dance floor.
Yes.
Because when you're the bride and groom, we're pulled in 50 different directions. But I went back and looked at the wedding video, and your husband was tearing it up on the dance floor. He had a great
so
time.
Embarrassing.
I remember now.
So you probably met him, but it's probably such a blur.
Yeah.
And
okay.
You're going to hear their love story in just a moment.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I think we tell our love story a lot, but maybe your loose lips and childbearing hips audience does not know. That Alan and I met on Bumble,
mm-hmm.
and we're, you know, I don't know why we would have a reason to be ashamed of that, but some people don't like to admit they met online, but we tell it.
You know what's crazy, and I think I've told this story before on our podcast, is when I first moved to Dallas in 1993, I was dating a gal, and this gal said, hey, you got to listen to this 106.1. It's got all the kind of music I like. And I'm like, yeah, I wasn't really into that kind of music. And then she started talking about Kelly Raspberry. And I didn't think anything about it. Her and I kind of broke up in 94, 95.
What was she saying about me?
Well, she said it was a great, funny show. But I had heard the name. But then fast forward now to 2016, and I'm swiping around on Bumble, and I see Kelly, and it said something about radio, and I thought,
did I say radio?
Yeah.
I don't think I said radio.
Well, it said something about I have a great life.
It was
life,
Kelly, I have a really great job.
Great
and
job.
I get to do a lot of fun things because of
but
it.
But it said Kid Craddock in the morning.
No, it did not.
Yes, it did.
I did not put that on my dating
okay,
profile.
Well,
you're
anyway,
having a false memory.
I saw, maybe I am, but I saw Kelly and I saw great, and I'm like, that can't be the same person that my girlfriend used to listen to. Maybe it isn't. She's hot, so I swiped right.
Oh.
So that's how we
it's
met.
It's very important to have your first picture on your dating profile really have a lot of energy to it. If anybody's listening that's doing online dating, because I see man, some of these pictures people pull, it's shocking. You're supposed to, because they literally have a split second to make the decision, right or left. And so it's got to be something that has energy, that jumps out. You see women on there, nothing wrong with it if you're an avid fisherwoman, and they're holding a fish in their profile picture. It's like, I don't know. I mean, a guy probably likes to know that you're into outdoor stuff. Don't lead with that. Mm-hmm. Lead with your shiny, happy, bright, smiley face. I think the picture I chose was me on a boat. It was just a great picture. The wind's in my hair. I'm smiling. I'm happy. And it was
so you were pretending that you like fun things.
No, I was. Yeah, I was pretending. Right? But I was on. It was just a great shot of me. I'm like, that's my first picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then my next picture was maybe a full body shot. That's important on an online profile. I don't care if you're overweight, underweight, perfect weight. A man needs to see everything.
Mm-hmm. Because the real you.
Because they're afraid. If you have nothing but your face showing, what do they think, honey?
Well, a guy's first inclination is probably like, what is she hiding? You know,
is there? She's got a body that she doesn't want to show. Oh, we put the champagne on ice now. So you have to do a full body shot. And then, like, maybe three or four pictures in, I put a picture of me with my daughter.
Because
I want him to know, got a kid. So not that she's not important and shouldn't be number one. But if you're going on a date with somebody, you don't leave with, hi, I have a child. Would you like to go out with me? That doesn't. So I think I did my profile right. I think
I did
it right.
Yeah, and the picture that got me was the one, and I've said this before, with you and your cousin Victoria.
Yeah, it was a really good picture.
It was a great picture.
You got to pick your best pictures.
Mm-hmm. Your hair was real. It was really red at that
time.
It
was deep.
Like,
it was
deep
that,
maroon.
Yeah.
Kinda. It was really sexy.
It was.
But you were in all black. You guys were out somewhere.
As always.
And I was
it
like,
was Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I had gone home. And this was from Thanksgiving. And I met him in January. And that was another rule I had. Only use recent photos.
Mm-hmm.
Because your weight can fluctuate. Your hairstyle changes. And you want to look like the person in your profile when you show up on that date, or they're immediately like, what the hell?
It's a shock. But
a
I
shock.
Do hate it, though. I showed one of our interns, Jenny, a photo of me and kid. And she looked at that photo, and I needed help, like, putting it on Instagram, doing something fancy with it, whatever. But I showed it to her, and she was like, oh, my gosh, that was young Lacey. And I'm thinking, like, bitch, that wasn't that long ago. I don't look that different, but she straight up said that.
But you know what? 5 years, you do look the same, but you look different. You know, you look more seasoned, I guess. So that's another tip for online. And not that I meant to turn this into an online dating tip or tutorial, but make sure it's recent pictures. First shot has to grab them with good energy. And
show the body.
Show the body.
Did you follow those rules, Alan? Did you have your kids in a full body shot in your profile?
Well, Kelly will tell you, my picture, I did have my kids, to answer your question. Yeah, sure. It wasn't my first picture.
It wasn't his first picture.
But,
you know, that's not, you don't do, you know.
But the picture that Kelly swiped left on the first time was one of the very first pictures I took for online dating was a car selfie. It was a cheesy car selfie.
It was a joke.
Well, at the time, it wasn't a joke.
Oh, I thought you were joking with the women you work
with.
No,
yeah, that was a joke that I was like, hey, look at the picture I'm using for my.
But then you liked it.
But then I was like, I'll just use it for my online profile. So it was a car selfie, and I kind of got my head turned, and I have a scarf on. And,
oh, no.
Yeah, and Kelly.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy.
Well, hold on. Kelly saw this, and she swipes left on me. Somehow, I came back around, and then the second time, she swiped right on me.
I think because at the time, Bumble didn't have that many participants. Mm-hmm. This is a few years ago. Now it's everywhere. I think they would recycle them, you know, because.
But, so I was a recycle.
No. I'm just saying you came back around.
Right.
Because if you swipe left, are you gone forever now? Or is there a chance
apparently
you come
I
back
wasn't.
Around? Because you came back around for me. And the second time you came around, I was like,
you know, I
honestly, that picture, I thought he was gay. And that's the reason he hates for me to say that. But it's the truth. He's wearing a scarf. He's taking a selfie from behind the steering wheel. He's got his head cocked to an angle.
And perfect teeth.
And perfect teeth and a smile. And I'm like, he's gay, left. Well, he came back around, and that wasn't his lead picture. It was like buried three or four. But I looked at the other pictures. Yeah, it's like, I'm going to give him a chance because he looked good looking.
Oh, thank
and so
you.
I swiped
thank
right.
You, baby. Thank
and
that's you. It. Thank you.
And the rest is history. We're talking too long about ourselves.
Well, Amy and I never did any of the dating profile stuff.
Oh,
I never did online dating. I never did any apps. I did ask Jeremy if I could download Tinder whenever it first became a big thing, just because I was curious.
Curiosity.
And I was going to put a wedding photo up. So obviously I'm not looking for, but he's found no humor in that at all. He's like, no, none whatsoever.
No.
And I'm like, I just want to look. I mean,
you
I'm not going to do anything.
Claudia in our office, she and her husband, I don't know if they still do, they had dating profiles because, again, it was the curiosity thing. They were just, for fun, they wanted to swipe like everybody
they
else.
They swing?
No, they don't. No, they don't. They were just, like, curious because it is a, it's a, it's an interesting thing if you're married.
You just want to look at it. That's it. I wanted to see what was going on.
Would you swing with Claudia?
Oh, my gosh. I love, you know how much I love Steven. She's so funny.
She's
Claudia's cute, too.
Cute.
Jeremy got on to me one time because I left the house and didn't realize that I didn't have my wedding ring on. And he's like, I can't believe you'd leave without your wedding ring. I was like, honey, this does not keep me from cheating on you. My love for you does.
That's right.
Also, nobody's throwing themselves at me, so I'm completely safe. Don't worry about that there. But I met Jeremy the old-fashioned way. We've been together almost a decade, married for almost 4 years. Well, he kept me going for a long time. He strung me along for forever.
You know, maybe we were 11?
I love you. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. That makes up for that girl calling you old.
Oh, thank you. But I met him the old-fashioned way and a little bit trashy, I guess I'm going to go ahead and put it out there.
So.
I met him at a bar restaurant during the day, but he noticed me because I wasn't wearing a bra. So he's like, hey, that girl looks like she's fun. And we had friends introduce us. Yeah. And I'm not that kind of girl. I'm blushing now that I even said that out loud. I'm not that kind of girl. I'm really not. Kelly thought one time she saw me in a sports bra up here and I was so embarrassed. And I'm like, Kelly, why would you think I would dress like that? It was a weird angle of my dress.
It was like a color block dress. And
I
so
remember.
The lines.
Oh,
the
yeah, and you were like, "Are you wearing a crop top?" And I'm like, "I'm not that kind of girl." Why would you think that?
It was flesh colored. It was flesh colored, so I thought you were in a crop top. I didn't mean to embarrass you.
Oh, it's okay, but I'm just saying, I'm just defending myself that I'm not that kind of girl that I don't walk around without a bra.
Well,
and usually,
can we peel this onion back just a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
So you were at a bar,
middle of the day,
a bar restaurant,
middle of the day,
braless.
Okay, and you didn't have a bra on.
Yeah.
Wait, did you just come from working out or swimming or what happened?
Yeah, bad sunburn.
No, it was during the summer, and
sunburns. I can't wear a bra.
Oh, I hear ya.
I had a swimsuit on previously, and then I wasn't wearing a swimsuit. So I just
like
showed
cover up.
Situation. Oh. I just showed up. I wasn't supposed to be there for long. We were meeting somebody and then immediately going somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
And my friend was talking to this table, and Jeremy was there. Well, all I saw was a guy and a girl, so I did not care at all. And I walk up to this table, and I'm like, oh, I'm being a complete bitch. I'm like, oh, can we please leave? We're supposed to go to this place, blah, blah, blah. She's like, don't be rude. Say hey to my friends. But I saw a dude and a girl. I completely don't care. I have enough friends. But I introduced myself, and then I saw Jeremy, and he was the single guy sitting off to the side. So I was like, oh, hey, you're cute. We're going here. He came.
You just came from the pool. Were you looking cute?
I don't think I was looking cute at all. He still remembers. I was wearing my friend's clothes and no bra.
Oh, wow.
But
wow.
He still remembers what
that's
I was
awesome.
Wearing.
Women, that's the point I'm making is you can put all this time and effort to looking your absolute most pristine version of yourself. Your braless just come from the pool, but he thinks you're cute.
But
you
Jeremy,
know?
When we've talked about this on another podcast with Paula Grooms, Jeremy was ready to commit. Probably.
He
was ready.
No, he thought I was easy, but I wasn't.
He
no.
thought
so
you were easy.
Yeah.
But like Paula said, men are also looking to have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he was looking to have fun with the easy girl with no bra.
Yeah. He saw my boobs and he was like, I'm in.
But she wasn't being easy.
Oh, God, no.
Right.
I told him. She said she's not going to say this. She said she wasn't going to say
I said I'm not going to say this.
Have a sip of your champagne and say it, girl.
Let's hear it. We say all kinds of
I've already finished my glass. Y'all are like,
Alan, will you refill us, please?
Yes, I sure will.
Yeah, honey. I'm out.
Okay.
We're not even 10 minutes in and we're one glass in.
So I did go home with Jeremy that night, but I am a lady. I did not go all the way. Now your face is saying I should not continue because that wasn't even the bad part.
No.
So I told him we were kissing is all. We're
just making out. That's fine.
But I told him, I said, I totally sleep with you except for that I like you. And he's like, great. So you're telling me that you put out, but you're not putting out with me. And I was like, yeah. So I made him wait a month because I'm a lady.
I think
she did the right thing.
She did.
She did the right thing. She didn't do anything wrong there.
I probably shouldn't have told him that, you know, yeah, I am as fun as I look, but I like you. So you're not getting all the funness.
No, that's also, we just talked to a relationship expert and she said, you know, it's not all, there are the cases where you sleep together on the first night and you're together for 50 years. But usually that's not the case. Men need to earn it.
Mm-hmm.
And they value that, what they earned. They value that with their careers. They value that in sports. If it's something they're just given that easily, they don't value it. So that's the fact that you told him that and then made him wait, he was working
that
for
says
it,
a
wasn't
lot.
It worked. We've been together for a really long time.
Absolutely.
Amy, what's your love story? You have an interesting one, too.
Yeah, so we waited tables at a restaurant together, and I had free tickets to see the IndyCar races, and there was another guy that I worked with, not my husband, that I thought was cute, and I asked him to go with me, saying, oh, you know, it's not a big deal. A lot of friends are going. I have a lot of tickets. My husband, Josh, overheard me, and he invited himself. So the cute guy I liked went, and my future husband told me that he needed a ride. So on our first date, I had invited someone else. I had to go pick him up.
Oh.
So we went to the IndyCar races, and he ended up giving me a foot rub and made me spaghetti that night. I know, and the rest is history.
Okay. That foot rub thing brought back
that?
A memory. Because when I had just moved here, this was way long time ago. I've been doing the Kid Craddock Morning Show since 1994. So this was right after I moved here. I went out with a guy. He was so handsome. And our first night, we went on a date. I broke a lot of rules because I was young and still figuring it out. But he invited me back to his apartment. But he wanted to cook me dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to give me a foot rub. And I said, no. I said, no. I said, that's too intimate. I thought that's a very intimate
it
thing.
It is.
Okay,
it
so.
And I never saw him again after that because it kind of freaked me out that he wanted to get
going
that
too
intimate.
Fast.
It was that intimate too quickly. It's almost like, that's kind of kinky, dude. You just met me. That's my thought process.
But you're saying you didn't follow the rules, which makes me think that a sandwich and some loving happened, but no foot touching.
Oh, no. I don't think Alan, have you? Maybe one time in our marriage have rubbed my feet.
I have rubbed your feet
not
many times.
Not a lot.
Yeah, I most certainly have.
No.
Yes, I have.
I'm not a foot person.
Shoulders all
my
the
shoulders,
time.
Yes, because I have tense shoulders.
I've rubbed your feet before.
Foot rubs are intimate because your feet are gnarly usually.
You
know, you got
broke your acorn toe that one time. I had to get down there and buddy tape it.
That's not massaging it. That's buddy tape. He buddy taped my purple toe.
I took care of your feet. It's not an acorn. It's a cashew.
Cashew.
Yeah. I took care of your feet.
You did, honey, but okay. I'm just saying, listen, feet are a level of intimacy.
I'm not a foot person. If Jeremy puts his feet on me, even though we're married and I love him and I put up with all the bad stuff in marriage that you have, like the morning breath, and, you know, I put up with absolutely everything, but he puts his feet on me, I'm like, ew, gross, get your feet off of me. Just because they're sweaty. And I have gross feet, so
Alan
don't.
Alan has great feet. Honestly.
That is so unfair.
I don't know if it's a Filipino thing.
Why would it be a Filipino thing?
I don't know. Is it like your feet are so good?
Thank you.
He never has pedicures. He doesn't have those crusty heels.
Mm-hmm.
As a man.
Do you lotion? Do you do anything?
Nothing.
I don't do anything.
God blessed him. Look at his looks, his teeth, and his feet.
Gosh.
My God.
Man,
I'm serious.
Good for my ego podcast.
You do. You have great
feet. Thank you. I appreciate
it. He's had exactly maybe two or three pedicures at this point. The first one he had was Valentine's Day after we'd been together for a year. I just wanted to, because he said he'd never had a mani-pedi before.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, for my Valentine's present to you, let's go get manis and pedis. And I said, I'll get one too. Unbeknownst to me, we were getting engaged that night.
So oh,
what great
that was perfect.
Luck, right?
Yeah.
He didn't say a word. I had no clue. And I ended up having perfect mani. And I got my wedding ring, or my engagement ring that night.
One of the best things I've ever done is taken Jeremy for a pedicure, because now he won't go by himself and he refuses to do his toes, so he takes me. We are a little different because we have separate bank accounts, which I prefer that because I am horribly irresponsible with money. He is not. He makes money. If I was to be put on his bank account, I wouldn't be shopping at Nordstrom Rack anymore. I'd be shopping at Nordstrom and we would go broke immediately. So that's a personal thing. I've never wanted to include our accounts together.
Have you done that, Amy? Or are you separate?
Well, I watched something from Oprah that said every woman should have their own account. So we have an account that we share together where all the bills come from. But I do keep a separate account of my own.
What account
for
is that?
A backup. What do you? Okay.
Like a Mad Money account.
So, our story is a little odd because we started a family before we got married, and so I got child support for the first year before we were married, and to stop it, I had to get a lawyer.
But y'all weren't separated. Y'all were together.
No, we did separate. For
oh, okay.
A year.
So
and
it's
he
like,
came
why would
back.
You get child support. Okay.
He came back around. So, yeah, I got child support, and they said that I had to hire a lawyer to cancel it when we got married, and I didn't want to spend the money to get a lawyer, so now I get court-ordered allowance, and so all that money just goes into account.
So he's still paying you child support.
He's still paying me child support. We're celebrating our 13-year anniversary. Yes,
that's
I
funny.
Still get child support.
You can go back. The laws have changed. I'll just update you, because
oh, really?
With my ex with child support, uh-huh. You can change that with a letter now.
Don't tell Josh
I will
that.
Talk about that later. Yeah. Now with me, because I was single for so long, I was used to paying all the bills, everything. I mean, I was very regimented. So to relinquish that power to Alan, that was huge for me. But we are on, I never, even in my first marriage, I was in charge of all the finances. Mm-hmm. I just took care of it. I was always in charge. And with Alan taking charge of that, that's been huge for me. I don't know. Are the bills being paid? I'm assuming they're being paid. I mean,
you
I know
have
they are.
To all that stuff.
I know I have access to it, but I just don't follow it anymore.
For me,
I'm just trusting that you're taking care of it all.
For me, it's a control issue. Josh
is
fully capable of doing it, but I want to know everything. I want to know that it's being taken care of.
See,
so
and
I
had
just
to
do it all.
I relinquished that control because I think that was a test for me to myself. Just to could I give that part up? And I have.
I'm clueless. I hate it whenever solicitors come by and they'll ask, like, who is your energy bill through? And I'm like, I don't know, dude.
I
just shut the door. I don't take care of any of that.
I have no idea.
Yeah. And I know that it's not normal to have separate bank accounts, but we discussed joining in and I'm totally fine. I make my money and my money goes towards certain things. He takes care of all of the bills. And then if I need anything, he would give it to me. But
so
usually I have my own money.
His bank account takes care of all the household expenses. Mm-hmm. What does your bank account take care of?
My car.
So your car and
groceries.
So that's your arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an arrangement like that? Or
well, no. I take everything from his account.
But he's irresponsible with money, and I'm irresponsible with money.
He is. I save a lot of money, and it's only because he doesn't have access to it.
Hey, Miss Kid Nation Toaster Chronicles, will you please tell them what you made for the family last weekend?
Oh, I made hot dog fried rice, and it's just because
Ooh,
it was cheap and easy. I know. Well, it does it. It's
I think
hot
I saw.
Yeah.
Do you follow her on Instagram?
I follow the Toaster Chronicles.
Yeah. That's her.
Yeah, I know.
You know
it's
her.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, it was okay. It wasn't the best, but I mean, it fed the hole that
right.
was in my family's tummy. So,
oh, Amy, you might need to give me. I have a problem, and
I'd die for some hot dog fried rice.
You would?
Some of the meals we've had.
Well, I need to make you some.
I'm just kidding.
It's
babe.
The truth.
You do a good job.
I err on the side of overcooking everything.
That's
I'm
a southern
of,
thing. That's
I
a southern
am.
Thing.
I get it. I get it.
I cook chicken to death.
Oh,
it's so, and I try. I'm like,
you can make
have
shoes
you gotten the thermometer?
Out of some of those
no,
breasts.
It's like even in the like, I'll even go buy the pre-cooked chicken, like the chicken strips that are grilled that you just put in the pan and heat them up. I'll overcook those because I'm like, oh, I just need to cook them just a little bit longer, and I just like panic. I don't know.
She hasn't killed you, Alan.
No, she hasn't. She hasn't
yeah,
killed
but
me.
Like,
it's
everything goes in the trash can because it's like,
you know, in Kelly's defense, she was a single mom for a long, long time.
And with Emma
and
Kelly, it was just easy chicken
yeah.
nuggets. And that's all she wanted.
And
you
she
know?
Didn't have a dude to cook for. And then now I have three children. And, you know, when we have them, she's got to cook for them. So she was in a tough position. But then, for me, growing up, my mom is a. She is a really good.
Throw that in my face.
No, I'm not throwing it in your face. I'm just saying. I don't hold that against you.
My
you
mother
do a
was
good,
a great cook
you
too.
You do a good job. You do
but
a good
I look
job.
Back. See, I just remember my mother always had dinner on the table. It was always like at least three things. It was a main dish and a couple of sides.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Mom, you were just such a great cook. She goes, half of the time it was like those Sara Lee pre-prepared, you know,
the frozen
meatloafs and stuff. And we didn't know as kids. I thought she was just making us dinner, you know, and it's like, just open a can of green beans and throw in a frozen entree and that was supper. And I thought that my mom was, you know, like the best, you know, she was serving mm-hmm. us. And so I guess I just need to give myself a break on the pre-prepared stuff.
Absolutely. It's a lot on your plate. I mean, I go home and my daughter was wanting to do something. She's in varsity band. I have to brag about her for just a second. But it's just her schedule has been so ridiculously hard recently, all the hours that she's been putting in. And she's like, I'm just so tired. I don't want to do it anymore. I was like, sometimes you just do things out of guilt. Like, I don't want to feed you every day.
Right?
I do it because I have to.
Right.
Yeah.
I dread it. It's like sometimes it gets to be 5:30. You're like, oh my God, I got to figure out what I'm feeding these people tonight. And mm-hmm. I just go and stand at the pantry. I'm like, well, what am I going to do?
Well,
I go open the freezer and I stand and look at the freezer. I'm just like, I don't know.
When we have all the kids, it's like a small army. So there's a lot of pressure, right?
Yeah, and the youngest, I don't like mashed potatoes. Who doesn't like mashed potatoes?
Yeah.
I don't like this.
That kid, he doesn't eat anything.
Oh, he has no appetite. So
right.
Anyway, it's our own little set of problems. I'll figure it out.
Amy's been married for 13 years, but her husband still doesn't trust her as far as the cooking, right?
He always thinks I'm trying to poison him just because he thinks everything's not cooked long enough. But, I mean, there haven't been any problems yet. So.
Oh, cooked long enough.
And he makes you...
What, eat first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He makes her try it first to make sure after 13 years. Still doesn't. Jeremy one time, Jeremy got really, really sick, and I had just made some chicken soup. It was really good, and I had a lot, and I was bringing some up here for work, and Jeremy called me on my way to work, and he was like, babe, I am super sick right now. Do not give people that soup. And I'm like, but I ate it too, and I was fine, and chicken cooking and all that broth, and like, I'm very well aware that it was way cooked. And he's like, no, just I'd be safe. I wouldn't give it to people. Well, I asked him, I said, well, what else did you eat? Oh, well, I had a sausage link from the Lowe's truck. And I'm like, so you trust those people, but you don't trust me. Yeah. Ends up, we went to a kid's party and one kid was sick and like half the people went home sick after that. So I didn't get the bug. But yeah, he tried to turn it around on me that it was my cooking. No, I came up here, I ate my food and I shared it with everybody and nobody got sick.
You showed him.
Yeah.
Just puking and pooping. That's the worst.
So we wanted to do a couple of love letters for y'all, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Amy and I's lives are super duper perfect, so we didn't have anything personal to draw from, so we decided to ask some friends. So I have a letter here from a friend.
Okay.
It says, Dear Kelly and Alan, you are the love experts.
Yes, we are.
Bum.
Oh, we do this thing.
Ask
Alan.
Oh, is it Ask Alan?
Is that, well, that's what you
well,
do on our show.
This is a love letter to Kelly.
Well, that's love letters to Kelly. And then we do Ask Alan anything.
Okay. I like it. Okay. My husband doesn't like to celebrate his birthday ever. I've tried coordinating a dinner with friends, considered surprising him with skydiving, but I got scared and ended up telling him about it. Then he was mad at me for even thinking about surprising him. I even thought about renting one of those cool slingshot cars from you guys.
Oh!
But he was such a birthday grump, I decided to call off his birthday for the rest of his
that'll
life.
That'll teach him a lesson. You should let him know that's what you planned.
I know
so
where
he
this
regret
letter's
it.
From, actually.
But his 40th birthday is next year. Should I stay true to my vow of never, ever doing a birthday for him? Or should I try to do something special? Or should I just ignore his birthdays and make every single one of mine extra special? Asking for a friend, Stacy.
Stacy has a big problem, honey.
Yeah. It sounds like Stacy really wants to show her husband love on his birthday.
Right.
Stacy's husband's like, you know what? I'm not into birthdays. I don't.
Well, from a man's perspective, why?
You don't need to do that. It's just a waste of time and money for you to do that.
But you're not adverse to birthday celebrations.
No, I'm not. I like going out and having a good time for my birthday.
But, if the point is just to go out and celebrate with friends, like you don't even have to do a big happy birthday shindig. We don't have to have balloons, surprises, a clown, nothing. Don't have to tell the waiter. It's not a big deal. But you can't even go out and celebrate with your friends because it's your birthday. You're so much of a grump is what my friend Stacey would probably say.
Every birthday is like that? Because I remember when I was single and my life wasn't where I wanted it to be, I didn't want to celebrate my birthday because every birthday was a reminder I wasn't where I want to be. And so when my friends would want to celebrate my birthday, I'm like, I don't want to. And they would almost get mad at me about it. And we go celebrate and I kind of sit there like, I don't want to be here. And then they'd all get mad at me because I didn't want to celebrate my birthday. But I'm like, I told you I didn't want to celebrate my birthday. It was just a big mess. Mm-hmm. And then finally one day I just said, I got to accept the love. But this is me. I mean, how do you get somebody to accept that? I just learned to accept the love. And on my birthday, I let people love me. And I accept that love. And then you just move on because the next day, it's not your birthday anymore.
Yeah, this is a man, though. So
I know.
This,
so how do you, that's the
this
thing
is a little
is,
different.
How do you get a man to get to that point where it's just one day, accept the love because the next day,
the closest,
back to normal.
The closest example I have, real world example I have to this situation is my dad. My dad, his birthday is the 23rd of December, right before Christmas.
So he's screwed.
His entire life, his birthday's been blown off.
Yeah.
And he's not a birthday guy anyway. I mean, he could care less about his birthday. But I guarantee you, if we didn't acknowledge him on his birthday, he'd have his feelings hurt.
Yeah.
He really would. So we always try to make something, you know, have him a special birthday gift, have him a little cake, take him out to dinner, and he's good. But I think if you blew it off, I think that hurt his feelings, even though he's like, but I think you got to meet in that middle ground somewhere, in my
opinion.
Or it's
not too big.
Or it's not too
big,
because maybe he feels uncomfortable. I don't want anybody to celebrate my birthday. That's a bunch of crap. That's kind of how my dad is. But if you didn't do anything, I think he'd probably not like that either. So maybe somewhere in the middle, it's like,
But definitely rent that slingshot.
Yeah, well,
that's definitely.
That's kind of a big deal, but that's a good idea because that's something that's like, well, maybe it's not really for my birthday. That's just something.
Well,
we're
it's not a
do,
bunch of people you know? Involved staring at
right.
him. He just gets to go have an experience, right?
As much as guys say, I don't want people making a big deal about me. If they didn't make a big deal, every guy has a little bit of an ego.
Where's that like, come from? It's hard to understand it when it's not you.
It's hard to understand when you don't know the background or how he grew up or were birthdays a big thing in his family or does he just not like people looking at you know, it could be a number of different reasons.
I think Stacey's going to forego the 40th next year just to really show him that, you know, you done messed up this time. But also to make matters worse, he has the best birthday in the world. It is June 25th, which is exactly 6 months before and after Christmas.
Right.
It
wow.
is the perfect birthday. Stacey is January the 14th, which is 2 weeks after Christmas,
sucks.
Which ever since she was like 13, her parents lumped birthday and Christmas together and never had a
enough
birthday
separation
until... She married and met this guy, Laramie, or whatever it is his name is. I don't know.
But does Laramie celebrate his wife's birthday with, you know, big deal for the wife?
If Stacey plans everything, then yes.
Oh.
But Stacey gets presents, though. So,
yeah.
I mean, he does show love that way.
Well, I think the important thing for, what's her name? Stacey, to mm-hmm. remember is that
Stacey
she is.
And Laramie.
Stacey is love.
Okay.
And that's the important thing to remember, that Stacey is loved. But yeah, small remembrance, like Alan said, at least some acknowledgement.
Do something.
Something
even
little.
If he,
just
even
little.
If he hates it. You got to do something.
At least just dinner.
Yeah.
But nothing involving other people because that's outside of his comfort zone.
Yeah, everyone's got a comfort
zone. But
what
about for the 40th?
40th, I think, is a bigger deal for ladies than it is men.
Really?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. Even though we all think 40 is
a maybe
big
a trip
birthday,
to Vegas,
right?
Just the two of them would be out of the question.
That'd be fine.
And maybe keep him in the dark. Just say keep that weekend open and then just surprise him or something. I don't know.
Or don't
even
tell him to keep it open.
I
that
think
might
they're not on the
him...
same bank account, so they might have a problem booking a surprise trip. Just saying. Okay, speaking of people who hate their birthdays.
Is that helpful at all to Stacey?
I think she can relay the message.
Yeah.
I think Laramie's a tough sell.
Stacey's going to do whatever she wants to do.
I have a feeling that's the case. But yeah, do something. I think Alan's right on that.
It's just stupid. Birthdays are so fun.
I know, but not for everybody. And you can't project what your feelings are on everybody, right?
Yes, I agree. Absolutely.
Okay.
If you don't like to celebrate your birthday, then just let them have their one day of not celebrating themselves.
But just a little something.
Amy got so much birthday love this year on the podcast.
I also hate celebrating my
She like sweated and cried.
Awful.
It was great.
Oh.
It was so good.
Was it that uncomfortable?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I had to take my jacket off and I was airing my pits. It was so bad.
See,
yeah.
Now my thing is I've never had a surprise party and I love surprises, but I have a certain friend that I'll name her, named Amy, not you, that because she hates surprises, she assumes I hate surprises.
So she ruins everyone.
Ruins every one of them for me.
That's not fair.
And I finally just told her. I was so upset after about the... Because people have tried to plan surprise parties for me, and she'll come to me and say...
Like me?
Oh, they told me they wanted you a surprise party, but I know you don't like surprises. So
yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, it's just like, oh, really? Because I hate... Okay, here's the thing. I hate surprises if you tell me, oh, my gosh. Oh, I've got a surprise for you. And
that's
you're not
going
to know it for 3 months.
That's what I do.
That
yeah,
drives
exactly.
me nuts if I know there's a surprise coming.
Ho, ho,
but if
ho,
you just
ho,
out of the blue
ho, ho.
Blindside me with a surprise, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And like my engagement,
yeah.
I had no idea.
I didn't tease that.
Didn't tease it. And how happy was I?
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, oh, your birthday's coming up. You're not going to believe it. What? I can't tell you. What? That drives.
I don't do that about
that.
Big stuff, though. I just do that about little
yeah,
things.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I get that part. But yeah, so I've never had a surprise party, mm-hmm. but I've had the surprise of my life.
So after y'all's engagement, I saw Kelly's ring. I mean, you could not miss it.
It's a big
and
one.
I heard her talking in the hallway, so I knew, and then I saw the ring, and I'm like, yes. And so I came in here, and I'm just, oh my God, I'm so happy for y'all. Let me see it. Da-da-da-da-da. And then I go back to my room, and Robert's like, way to go, Lacey. Nobody knew. Nobody at all knew. And I walked in, and I was so excited for you. Because if you were going to hide it, well, no. None of the rest of the cast didn't know yet.
Oh, I just walked in with it. I just didn't say anything.
That's
but they said, everybody Somebody noticed first break, didn't they?
Well, Lacey can spot the sparkly, so I think she just announced it to everyone before the first break, right?
Yeah. Well, I came in here before the show.
I didn't even know. Yeah. Our producer, Robert Whitechatter, he loves to kind of every once in a while stick it to you.
I didn't. Because I thought if it was a secret, you wouldn't walk in with your ring. Then you would bust out your ring later.
I was going to tell it. I wore it in waiting for somebody to say something.
And we're girly. That is such a big deal. So, yeah, as soon as I saw it, I had to come in here and congratulate you and hug you and look at the ring.
Yeah, if I wanted to be a secret, I wouldn't have wore the ring.
So how did y'all's husbands propose? What are y'all's stories?
Amy?
and then we'll get back to
Yeah, sorry, and then we'll get back on the track.
So,
I'm just curious.
We had a second surprise pregnancy, and he was sitting in the truck when I told him, and he's like, well, I guess we need to get married. So not real romantic.
There's no right way.
So then you went together to pick out your ring?
We did. And we went to the park and we walked around. He got down on one knee and presented it to me. But yeah, it was,
That's sweet.
You're still together this long.
Here in Dallas?
Yeah.
That's great that you're still together.
So with Jeremy and I, we had just bought a house and we had been together for 5 years. So we move into the house and I'm like, when the crap are we ever going to get married? This is never going to happen ever. And I said something to his mom and his mom said, don't worry about it. He's planning on bringing you to this bar in Atlanta where me and his dad met, and he's going to do it there. So I get super excited.
She told you everything?
She's trying to calm me down because...
You were that mad.
Because at this point... Well, okay, we just bought a house together. We've been together for 5 years, and we can't even discuss getting married because he's like, I just bought you a house, and now you want a ring? Yes, bitch, I've been wanting a ring for forever. You are taking my whole life.
This is what Alan would tell you is the problem with that. The more you talked about it, the longer he waited to ask. And that's what Alan said, because he wanted it to be a surprise. So if I bring it up, he's like, you just delayed it another week or two in his head. But see, I didn't know he was having that conversation with himself. And that's what Jeremy was doing.
No, Jeremy was not. Because Jeremy, a couple of years before, mentioned us getting married. This is like 2 years in. Mentioned us getting married. And I was like, I don't care about a ring. I wanted my grandmother's ring. We can just go to Vegas as long as my family goes, because I'm the only girl. My mom always wanted me to be married. So as long as my family goes, that's it. Well, then he waited forever, and that's why we got married in Ireland, almost in a castle. Thank you for that. Yeah. Taking my whole life. But no, I got excited and I told my girlfriend, oh my God, Jeremy's finally going to propose. And
so you weren't upset that the mom blew it?
No, I was excited. But my girlfriend was upset and worried that Jeremy and I would go on vacation and he would not pop the question. And she was in on it the whole time. So she called up Jeremy and said that I knew. So he had to abort that plan. His mom got in trouble.
He wanted it to be a surprise.
His mom got in trouble. She still hates this friend. And this is one of my best friends. But anytime I mention her, I'm like, Vanessa. And she's like, yeah, that's the bitch you told on me, right? So we ended up going on vacation to Colorado. We went skiing. It was my first time ever skiing. I'm a horrible skier. I cried a lot. I'm not a big crier. Like, I had my goggles full of tears, just full on, like, jaw shattering. And, oh, I can't do it. And it was really embarrassing. But then we went to the Shining Hotel. I love horror movies. That's where... did I say the Shining Hotel?
Yeah,
it was Jack Nicholson.
It was the Stanley Hotel, but that's where The Shining was filmed.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend had coordinated with him, and she wanted to write Marry Me in blood on the back of the door.
Backwards.
Where you shut it and you see it in the mirror. And Jeremy said, no, I got this. So we get to the hotel and it was Thanksgiving, and he starts telling me how family is important and all this different kind of stuff. And then he gives me a ring box and he goes, maybe you want to wear this. And I knew what it was immediately. And I'm like, well, are you going to ask me? Are you going to make me ask you? Yes. And I made him get down on his knees and ask me.
Not.
But he just gave me a ring box and said, maybe you want to wear this.
You did not snap your fingers at him, did you?
I don't know. I don't know if I did or not.
Maybe.
But then right after that, somebody knocks on our door and brought us some champagne and said, oh, these nice people from down at the bar sent you up this bottle of champagne, this and this. It was obvious they had the wrong room, but I wouldn't say anything. Jeremy, this was minutes after we got engaged. Jeremy was like, I'm sorry, you have the wrong room. You can go ahead and send that back. And I'm like, we could have just got a bottle of champagne.
Oh my gosh.
Wait a minute. Let's summarize a little bit of this.
What?
So
that's a very intriguing proposal story.
So you said, when the crap are you going to propose?
Basically. I mean, probably.
And then when he did propose, you did the and told him to get down on his knee?
He should have done it the right way.
He handed me a ring box and said, maybe you want to wear this. Yeah. I've been waiting 5 years plus my whole life.
You want a little romance?
You want
yes. Yeah, you could at least ask me. And I mean, his spiel was nice because he's like, you know, it's Thanksgiving. It's the holidays. I want you to be a part of my family. I'm already a part of your family. Right. I already go and I see everybody and I'm super close. So, yes, I probably didn't snap my fingers. And, yeah, I did make him get down on his knees. But, I mean, come on.
He should.
My friend was a little bit disappointed in the proposal. She's like, Lacey, I swear to God, I tried so hard. He told me.
But he
got nervous. And I'm not upset about how he proposed at all. It was great. I'm glad we didn't get married in Vegas because we ended up getting married in Ireland and it was so much better. So, I mean, I'm glad that everything worked out the way that it did.
Yeah. But you also have to, men listening, if you're listening, I don't think a lot
not
of men
many.
Listen to us, no. But you have to give them a good proposal because they're going to tell the story a million times and you want a good story. That's, you know, that's the one proposal story you hopefully will get.
Or
I have two. My first one was really not great.
Yeah. Or if you're, yeah. And then in my case, which is a little unique, but if you're proposing to somebody who works in radio, the whole world,
you know, I'm
going to
be telling
story,
it. So that was in your thinking process?
Well, I mean, I'm not naive to know that if, you know, I'm doing a proposal, it's going to get told on the radio. Right.
Oh, yeah.
So
you
I was going to do a good one anyway, but I knew that it would get told on the radio.
It was special. And it was a surprise, which I loved.
And it was great. It really was good. You did a very good job.
I have one quick one, but it's to someone else.
Ooh, who?
Lacey.
Me? You're picking me?
Yes.
Okay.
Dear Lacey, you are the whatever expert.
I was going to ask what I'm the expert of, but you just answered that question.
We'll work on that later.
Maybe I'm the everything expert.
Okay. That'll work.
All right.
I just bought these great new sheets from Brooklinen. If you haven't heard of them, they are luxury sheets without the luxury markup. But here's the problem. My son Maddox used to set his alarm in the morning so that he could come snuggle with us for just a few minutes, but now he's been setting it earlier to get more time in our bed. So he can even feel the hotel quality in these sheets. So how can I get him out of our bed with Brooklinen sheets?
So you want to be able to enjoy your Brooklinen sheets without your child in there.
Yeah.
Amy, I wish I could help you, but I'm actually having the exact same problem with my dog, Stanley.
What a stinker.
Because Stanley is such a bum, and he used to lounge on our couch all the time, so I guess now this is a good thing that he's not on the couch anymore. But now he's in my bed, in my bedroom, chilling on my Brooklinen sheets. I'm so jealous. I leave for work in the morning. He's in bed just enjoying those sheets. I come home. He's still in the bed, and I'm like, oh, those are my Brooklinen sheets. You need to get off them. Him and I were having a little conversation because, you know, I do like to talk to my dog. And he was very thrilled to find out that they weren't just made by a lovely husband and wife, Vicky and Rick. They also gave their dog Dukes credit for these sheets.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
I love that.
I would have to give my dog credit for something. Like, he's still our little brainchild of sorts, I guess. But these founders are involved in the whole process from design to manufacturing to price because they do want to make sure that you get the luxury sheets without the luxury markup like you were talking about, Amy. And the cool thing is, these sheets don't just look great, they feel great too.
Oh yeah, I can totally tell.
It's so easy. You just go to brooklinen.com. You can choose whether you want luxury sheets or regular sheets. You can choose all the different colors. It's so super simple. Be sure and fill out your address there as well. But seriously, Amy, my Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. You feel the same way, right?
Absolutely.
I know Maddox does for sure. And good news, if you want to get Brooklinen sheets in your home too, go to brooklinen.com and get an exclusive offer just for our listeners. You can get $20 off and free shipping. Just go to brooklinen.com and use the promo code LOOSELIPS. Brooklinen is so sure that you will love your new sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty.
Oh my gosh, nobody does that.
On all of their sheets and comforters. So we're taking care of for life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sleep like this for the rest of my life. I'm
oh
so
God.
Super excited about it. Sleeping is my favorite activity.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, for sure. That and eating.
The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code LOOSELIPS at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code LOOSELIPS. So go get your Brooklinen sheets today. Brooklinen, these really are the best sheets ever. I can't wait till you wrap up this podcast so I can go home and get back in them.
Yeah, nap time.
I think we have time for one more love letter.
All right, well, I have one.
Ask Alan. Oh, what are we doing?
Ask Kelly.
It's love letters to Kelly, and it's Ask Alan Anything.
Okay,
whatever.
Okay, what is it?
Skip it.
This is a quick one. Dear Kelly and Alan, you are the love experts.
We are.
I am.
I just have to say, we have kids that are similar in age, and I think we have the same parenting style. I am incredibly honest, and I try not to spoil them. Also, my hubby is a goofball, and I approach life with my smarty pants on. All that to say, I feel like we could be very best friends with you guys if we weren't in different pay grades. So, are y'all available for a charity case friendship?
Yes.
Asking for a friend, Jamie.
Yes. What do you want to do, Jamie? What do you want to do?
What does charity case friendship mean?
They're poor and we're not.
How do they know we ain't poor?
CelebrityNetWorth.com.
Four mouths to feed.
Oh, by the way, here's a peek behind the curtain with that CelebrityNetWorth.com, which is a bunch of crap. You know about CelebrityNetWorth.com, don't you, Alan?
Yes, I do.
It says I make $1 million a year and my net worth is $5 million, which means I'm not a very good money manager, right? They just, Big Al is on there.
Mm-hmm.
And it says his net worth is $3 million.
Oh, no.
He owes $3 million.
Oh. Right, exactly. And Robert, our producer, said it. Are you sure that doesn't say negative $3 million?
Right.
But they list, he's the bar owner in Mexico. He's a bar owner in McKinney Avenue Tavern. Like, Celebrity net worth is behind.
Yeah.
Because, you know, none of those things still exist. So it's a bunch of crap.
That's funny.
I am not nearly as rich as you think I am. What's the name again? Jamie,
yeah.
But we are always
available?
More than welcome to accept new
Wonderful.
Friends.
So what's the question? They just want to be friends?
Yeah.
Are
friends.
You available? Yeah.
Well,
I think they want to be Justin kind of friends, though. They want to.
Well, we ought to pitch the vacation, the sandwich and some love and family
vacation.
Oh, you
know vacation. What we're going to do? Honestly, we should have.
They can come
honestly,
to that.
Honestly, we should have. Loose lips and childbearing hips over to enjoy the pool at Evans Estate or
Absolutely.
Evans Manor.
Absolutely.
Maybe we can do like a six-some.
Whoa.
And have
them
over for a cookout?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll plan
like
a weekend.
That would be a lot of fun.
No kids, right?
No kids. And I'll let Jamie know.
Yeah, we'll plan that
be a lot
to do
of fun.
That. What are we going to we're planning a podcast family vacation.
Really?
Because we're getting close to 2 million listens, and we're very excited about it. So we've got a travel agent who's working on some packages for when we're off next 4th of July week. So we're working on that.
How fun!
You're more than welcome to come
trip.
Along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
That would be a lot of fun. I have to go ahead and say that I am out, though, because Trey's getting married then, and I'm going to be working.
That's right.
Yeah, so I'll be...
Crap, you have to work that week. That's right.
I'll be here, but... Jamie and her husband, Osh, can go and represent Loose Lips and Childbearing Hips. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's the hard part for people behind the scenes. They have to cover a lot of shifts while we're on vacation. So thank you for doing that.
They're
for
not the talent scene. Where you just roll in and roll out.
Have you met us? We're not the talent at all. No.
You know, this is the part they call paying your dues.
Okay.
That's the fun part. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, Trey is getting married. On our next. That's what we did for our last vacation. Boss man George gave us... Even before Alan proposed, he's like, I think I'm going to give y'all a longer vacation this year, just in case. I'm like, Alan hasn't proposed.
Amen.
So that's why we had a longer vacation last year.
That's
because
really
of that.
Cool.
Yeah,
I
told Kelly, you know, she was snapping about it, Alan. I told her, look, it's going to happen. Just, amen. Just, you know, I told her, hey, look, he's going to do it. He's going to do the right thing. Amen. That's what he said.
He called Alan and told him.
She's been squawking a lot. You know, I told her, Alan, I said, look.
It happens when they don't get the business done, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Then you get the bitchy wife. But just so you know, Jeremy and I are very good vacation friends. We have a couple of them. We've gone on a lot of great vacations. We've been very fortunate to that. So maybe not podcast-wise, but still, if we ever want to go out sometime, we're great
I
vacation
bet
your baby
people.
Steps. Let's have you over for a cookout first.
That was
baby
a big fat
steps.
No.
I bet Jeremy's not the kind of guy that wears a Speedo, is he?
I don't think so.
Right.
No.
Is that
going to
be the rule?
He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would wear a Speedo.
I did have a love letter from somebody named Macy about manties, but we don't have time to get into all that.
We got all the time in the world. Do you really want to ask it?
If I could ask one more,
go
I have
ahead.
Something completely
I
different.
I thought you were serious.
How do you keep things spicy in the bedroom? I'm not saying that we are boring, but I'm pretty much always on my back or sometimes knees. Not a lot of variation. What can I do to spice it up? Asking for my friend, Casey.
Oh, no. Babe, you're asking an old married couple.
I don't know. Her just reading that.
Wow, that was awful.
That's pretty creepy.
Saying,
that was awful.
Saying, on my knees.
We don't need to repeat it. That is not need repeating.
You know, okay, here's the deal. I'll try to be the mature one here and answer the question.
Mm.
We've I think the...
I don't think personal stories are needed.
I think the kid has... No, I'm not going to say anything untoward. I'm just saying in a married relationship, a married monogamous relationship in which we are in, sometimes you need to introduce new things.
Like what?
Hey, if it's always...
Bad? Why does the man have to introduce it? Sometimes the woman
doesn't
should
have
introduce
to be the man.
It. Right.
It
the woman can introduce it.
Absolutely, the woman can introduce
and
it.
And perhaps maybe a visit to an establishment that
I don't
sells
know what
things.
That means. Oh, one of those
that
places.
Could spice up your married life.
Yeah.
That might be, you know, something that would be recommended.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily in the area where you live, should you be recognized.
Sure.
Little, good advice.
Little policeman yes. uniform and the
no,
the orange
costumes.
Jumpsuit.
There's no costumes involved.
Yeah, we don't do that.
But there's a lot of things that you can bring into the relationship.
Y'all are very mature.
We busted a new one out.
We busted a new one out, what, babe?
Bust a slob. Was it Mexico? Yeah, in Mexico. Remember? We tried something different.
We did?
Yeah, we kind of failed. It failed.
Oh yeah, it didn't work out.
But hey, the fact is, we tried something.
We tried something new, it didn't work. This wasn't for us.
Yeah.
But at least
we're willing to try.
We were willing to try.
that's half of the battle is just be open and willing.
Be
to
open
try.
And then be like, no, let's not do that again.
Yeah, it's fine if you're tied in with your soulmate here. You should be able to say, you know what, that's just not really for us. It's okay.
Right.
It's okay that it didn't work.
But it doesn't always have to be. I think a lot of times women are afraid to introduce something new.
Right.
You leave it to the man.
Guys like that stuff.
Yeah, they do. A man likes a more forward approach.
Oh.
But I think the lady that wrote this particular letter doesn't have issues with being shy in that department.
Yeah, Casey.
She probably doesn't wear a bra in public. She's
right.
Like that kind of girl.
Yeah.
Just whatever I would think that if it's something that you are curious about, try it.
I'd say go for it.
Go for it. And then if it doesn't work out, like, nah.
Yeah,
try.
Just, hey, it
didn't
work. Well, you know, we tried.
I love y'all. I'm so immature. I've been giggling the whole time. Like, I was just trying to put the pressure on y'all, and y'all just want to go with it. It's like, cool.
No, it's fine.
We're experimental. It's not a problem.
Well, we're not that experimental.
Yeah, we're not that.
Not that crazy. But yeah, you know, not everything works for
everybody. I'll tell you
couple.
What, that thing in Mexico, that was out there. That was out there.
But it wasn't for us.
That was out there.
It wasn't for us.
Well, thank y'all so much for doing this podcast mashup
you know
with us.
It was fun.
Loose lips and
childbearing hips.
Loose lips and childbearing
Next,
hips.
We honestly, let's make a date for them to come over for a cookout. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
We bought this house because it's a great house to entertain, and we need to entertain more.
Hey, and you guys have social media for your podcast,
mm-hmm.
Instagram?
Yes, we do. We are Loose Lips and Childbearing Hips on Instagram, Facebook, Loose Lips Hips on Twitter. Amy is Kid Nation Toaster Chronicles.
Yeah.
And what are your socials?
At A Sandwich and Some Lovin' on Instagram. We have a Facebook, Sandwich and Some Lovin', and Twitter is at Sandwich Lovin'.
Yeah, because they don't have as many characters.
Not as many characters.
I'm in charge of the Twitter, and I'm not doing a great job. So I'm
going
to try stepping that up
a
little bit.
We'll get more followers there.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do. I'm not good at posting as much as I should.
Yeah, follow us there. You'll be talking directly to Kelly.
Yeah, that there's your behind the scenes. That's me.
And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and Google Play, A Sandwich and Some Lovin' Podcast, Loose Lips and Childbearing Hips, and all the other Kid Nation podcasts. Keep your hips loose.
And lips hip.
And?
In the immortal words of the great Keanu Reeves, life is good when you have a good sandwich.
Thank you guys so much. This has been a lot of fun.
Bye!
We're going to go around the office, follow me, and find out who everyone's favorite is.
Well, it changes on a daily basis, I would say, much like it does in this room. But today, I'll say Lacey, because she's responsible for, like, editing all the commercials and stuff we do. And sometimes I know that's a very frustrating task. So we appreciate you, Lacey. Thank you very much.